Okay. Well, it's still not clear whether we're actually going to finish this week or go home over the weekend. There seems to be an effort to try to see if we can't get done. I don't think there's any way we're done tomorrow, but sometime over the weekend. Leader McCarthy indicated to me that at some point in time later today, he'd be ready to sit down and map that out. So sometime this afternoon, I may be able to answer a question specifically on that point. Look, our concerns continue to be exactly the same. It's going to be the most spending in the history of Iowa, something in excess, it appears, of $6.3 billion, and that doesn't account for the additional $600 million that apparently got stacked on top of the stimulus package from the other day. We continue to hear talk about some of the labor bad for business bills, the income tax increase by repealing federal deductibility. So we continue to be concerned about all those different things. And part of the reason why we're concerned about it is we've yet to see an amendment that's for the block grant bill, the federal block grants. We've yet to see what's going to be amended onto the standings bill. We've yet to see what the bonding proposal looks like. We have finally seen a RIF amendment, but it's our understanding that that may be close to the final version. It may not be close to the final version. So that doesn't give Republicans much peace, but obviously we'll keep up the fight on behalf of the taxpayer. And as we understand things, we'll pass them on. But again, I mean, $6.3 billion in spending at a minimum, and that is the largest in the history of Iowa. We are very, very concerned about that.
I really can't add a great deal to that except to say that Representative Paulson is absolutely correct. We're ending the session precisely where we started. We have really not accomplished anything to try and get Iowans back to work. We have over 80,000 Iowans out of work. Instead, we're concentrating, or the Democrats are concentrating on spending more money, borrowing more money to spend, and we're looking at deficits down the road. As a matter of fact, the spending is so high, particularly with the federal bailout money, that we could see the train come off the track in a couple of years, and probably will, that will dramatically result in massive cutbacks of programs or massive tax increases. They've taken every opportunity to increase fees and taxes, and while at the same time they're using those to support this spending habit. So it's contrary to what the majority party would like you to believe, it's not a revenue problem, it is a spending problem. Iowa is better positioned than any other state to weather this recession, and we just spend way too much money. It's a serious, serious problem, and it's one we have to deal with. We offered many amendments on the floor the other night that were common sense amendments that would have pulled spending in on items such as encouraging the state not to buy leather upholstery or GPS or satellite radio, those things that Iowa families don't splurge on. Why should the state splurge on that when we're in such tough times? So those are the big issues we face, and I think one that all Iowans are concerned about.
Mr. Paulson, a bill is headed to Conference Committee that deals with some tax credits for flood-affected properties. It also includes some property valuation changes. What a package of flood-related bills are still pending?
There's that. The other, and my understanding is the Senate amendment that we rejected last night, because we're supportive of the Senate amendment, we just couldn't get it into conference without rejecting it. All that language is going to continue to be in the bill, and then there's going to be some clarifications of how it's used. Supposedly, there's some money in the bonding bill for disaster, and I'm drawing a blank. I know there's another couple proposals out there, but I'm not sure exactly where they are in the process. I do know, and I was asked this, I actually had my first discussion today with a legislative Democrat on the bonding proposal that, I've been offering to sit down and talk, and today was the first day that happened. And I continue to say that we can do this by using the EF. Republicans have offered $230+ million in what we consider to be pretty reasonable cuts to the budget that would make more resources available. We look at the Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund amendment, and again, it may or may not be the final version. Over the course of the next 2 years, there's somewhere in the neighborhood of $350 million of diversions out of the infrastructure fund to spend on what are basically general fund expenditures. And they're, quite frankly, we can do more and never have to borrow a dime. If, you know, there's probably not a reason to go down the same road multiple times. It's been stifled by the Democrat leadership. They clearly do not want Iowans to have a say on this question. We believe very strongly the proper resolution, although we understand it takes a while to pass. I mean, we all get how the process works. But the right place to have this resolved is let Iowans decide whether they agree with the legislature or whether they agree with the judiciary. There'll be opportunities to do that next year. If there does present itself an opportunity somewhere this year, obviously Republicans will push for that. But because of the way they procedurally have us boxed in, there isn't really any new option available to us until next year. Next year there is.
I would only add that I find it ironic that we have two people under the Golden Dome upholding the seven elitist justices and denying the people a vote, which is where it belongs. The legislature, the governor, 98, passed the Defense of Marriage Act, and the rest is history. And we have Mike Gronstahl and Pat Murphy denying people a vote. And I think that's why people are exceedingly frustrated in that. We're receiving thousands of emails from not just Republicans, but independents and Democrats alike saying, why are you afraid of giving people the vote? People are very, very frustrated, and rightfully so.
Well, there's $100 million available in the Economic Emergency Fund. And then, like I just mentioned, there's somewhere in the neighborhood, and I won't have the number exactly right, but there's somewhere in the neighborhood of $350 million of diversions in the current Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund. We've offered $250 million in reasonable cuts to the budget. And they want to borrow money, apparently, for 20 years, although I've heard some say 30. Until we see a proposal, we don't even know what that is. Again, we're apparently it's more important to fund paper and paper clips and full-time equivalent or employees that are unfilled and no one's sitting in, but we're passing this money out so it can be diverted, basically as a slush fund. And it seems to me that the thousands of Iowans who still can't get back in their home would be a higher priority, but apparently not.
I'm just trying to double check. A lot of Linn County people said there should be a special session in the fall to deal with flood-related issues. So in your opinion, the only two pieces of legislation remaining to address those flood-related issues are the bonding plan, whether you approve of it or not, and the separate plan, that's the tax credits and the property valuation issue.
Those are the only two that I know still have steps left in the process. There's others out there. I'm just not sure exactly where they are in the process. I won't remember. We bounced a couple back and forth. I think they're done. And there may be, again, some stuff in the standings that we don't know about. There may be something somewhere else we don't know about.
We are looking to visit further with the governor And as a matter of fact, when you folks came up, we were in discussions on that issue. So we anticipate further discussions with the governor at this point.
So they will both come up until you talk with the governor?
We anticipate visiting with the governor to make sure his intentions are clear, and we will visit further. But in general, we will do what we believe is best for the kids, protecting Iowa families and Iowa children. And we will have further discussions on that, and so that there's full clarification on everybody's part.
When you say to make sure his intentions are clear, does that mean that he'll sign this?
We will visit with the governor and make sure that his that everybody's intentions are fully understood, and that we're all working for the betterment of protecting the kids in Iowa.
Do you feel there's urgency to pass this legislation or to make changes to the 2000-foot rule this year before session ends?
I mean, I think Kay was reporting me all last weekend that I'm disappointed with the amount of sunshine that's been on this bill. So I've been very frustrated by that. I'll just leave it at that. The safe zone portion of it, I absolutely support. And that's part of the problem, is we're still working through some of those pieces. I have not agreed to any debate.
Well, good afternoon. Despite the fact that the national recession has sharply cut state revenue, we will balance the state budget without raising taxes, and we're going to keep our focus on middle-class families. We can balance the budget without hurting education, primarily because President Obama and Congress has sent $386 million to Iowa just to protect Iowa schools. The federal stimulus package is intended to stimulate the economy. Funding education protects an essential service while also preventing hundreds of teachers from joining the unemployment lines. The directions for spending the $386 million from the federal government was very, very clear. Number one, fill budget gaps. Number two, prevent layoffs. Here at the legislature, we have no intention of rolling back the progress we've made to improve student achievement in the recent years. That's why we fought hard to shield local schools from the worst of the coming budget cuts. We've made tough choices so we can protect educational opportunities for our local schools, our students, and our taxpayers. And that's why we have repeatedly said the federal funds will be used to fully fund 4% allowable growth for the 2009-2010 school year. Let me repeat that. Federal funds will be used to fully fund the 4% allowable growth for the 2009-2010 school year. We will get through these tough times, and we will do it without harming education or our children. Most children get only one chance at third grade, except for maybe somebody in my family. We are looking together to help each child make the most of that opportunity. President Obama, the Congress, Governor Culver, and the Iowa legislature all agree that the federal stimulus money for education is intended for Iowa teacher salaries, technology improvements, and making sure our kids have the skills they need to compete in the 21st century.
Talk about a similar subject. We've heard that some school districts in the state of Iowa are sending out an unprecedented number of pink slips to teachers. One district, Cardinal of Eldon in southeast Iowa, sent out pink slips to 23 of its 51 teachers. You heard that right. The district sent out pink slips to nearly 50% of its teachers. This is outrageous. In the next few days, we'll vote to direct large amounts of stimulus dollars to public education. I think we've got a handout for you folks. By doing so, we'll be following the explicit directions of the federal government. The source of these dollars, those directions were to backfill budget cuts made by the state and prevent any layoffs or proposed program cuts. This money can and should be used for salaries and to fund important education positions. Since Iowa is one of the states working with the federal government to ensure accountability of taxpayer dollars, school districts must use these dollars for their intended purposes and not to fill their reserve account. It's outrageous when administrators like the superintendent, Arnie Snook, at Cardinal of Eldon, decide to pink slip teachers and give the excuse that they don't want to count on federal stimulus money. Anecdotally, we've heard of at least 13 other districts that are also threatening to fire a large number of their staff. What are these administrators thinking when they fire or threaten to fire teachers en masse? Aren't they reading the papers? Aren't they paying attention? The last things Iowans want to do during this recession is dismantle our schools by firing hundreds of teachers. Preventing hundreds of teachers from being fired is a big reason why the federal government is providing these stimulus funds. So for the sake of good teachers, for the sake of our students, for the sake of the families of the students and of the teachers, we call on school administrators across Iowa to immediately stop the practice of sending out layoff notices for teachers as their first option for dealing with budget problems. Instead, use the stimulus funds as directed to fix your budget shortfalls and prevent teacher layoffs. Help is on the way. Now is not the time to dismantle Iowa schools. We'll take your questions.
Walk us through the next few days.
We've had a meeting this morning with the executive branch. It was a very good and productive meeting. As we speak, we have members working on the final touches of a bonding bill and having those discussions, and we expect they will reach resolution sometime mid-afternoon today, at which point we will begin to draft that bill. We're hopeful we can move it as quickly as possible. At that point, it'll be a matter of how long it takes to get it actually drafted. Most of the budget bills are through both chambers at least once. There are a few unresolved issues in some of those between the House and Senate. We expect there will be a few unresolved issues between the General Assembly and the executive branch. But we expect those issues to be resolved quickly. So I'm pretty confident we can go to conclusion this week. Whether that goes into, how far that might take us into the weekend is at this point not a function of lack of agreement. It's a function of how quickly we can move those agreements into draft form and get them introduced and passed. So we're pretty confident we're going to get done here pretty soon.
Will we see the vote, see a copy of that draft bonding bill today?
Sure.
How much is it? How much did you settle on?
They don't have the final number yet, but it's close to the governor's numbers.
How much does it include for transportation?
It includes a significant portion for transportation. Not that it is kind of between those two. Look, I think when you see it, you'll see that it's that two sides of good faith came together and discussed their differences and came up with something that works. So I think you'll see something in the range of what you've seen so far. Yes. All. I think you'll see a combination of a set of funds, some bonding, some cash.
And is the road money just for cities and counties, or is it
no.
for the state too?
It will be for the state as well.
Pat, last weekend, members of your caucus were saying that they needed Republican votes to pass the bonding bill in the House. Is that still the situation?
No, I'm optimistic we can get 51 votes for the Democrats in the House. We did reach an agreement last week that we could move forward with the Senate, that we had 51 people that could support that, and I think we'll probably have 51 votes again. The changes that we have from where we were at on the Senate version that we agreed on last week to where we're at today is there's more similarities than there's differences. The only difference is the money for bridges.
Is it safe to assume at this point in the process that the income tax overhaul and the package of labor bills are not part of this?
It continues to be possible on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Is the biodiesel mandate going to pass the House?
I don't think it's going to get out of Ways and Means. It's my understanding right now. I've talked to Paul Shamshore about that bill. It appears that there's Democrats supporting the bill, but it's my understanding at this point that Republicans have made the decision not to support it. We have a few people in our Ways and Means Committee that are not supportive of the B5, so we would need some Republican votes to get it out because that's not mm-hmm. there. It's not going to happen this year. We'll have to look at it next year, and we've let those interest groups that are interested in that legislation, they're aware of it.
Is federal deductibility anything that you guys are still considering?
Yes. Yep. If I can get the 51st vote before that gavel drops, even if it's during when the gavel drops, I'll stop and we'll do the bill.
What about overriding?
Which one?
The
one the House passed. I think the Senate has some sense that the bill doesn't do enough, and is purely advisory and more a study than an actual bill. I think there's probably some reluctance to move that forward in the Senate.
You're not expecting it to be one of the last
ones? I'm not expecting it unless something would come together pretty quickly on that. Listen, all of those issues continue to be, if we find a consensus in 51 votes, we're gonna take a shot at running them.
It appears it's doubtful. We have a few people that are trying to work on a compromise, but I think, quite frankly, I think some people are hoping to run out the clock on that one this year.
If I could go back to the bonding, though, and the transportation, is that money restricted for flood-damaged roads and bridges, or is it any road and bridge?
Look, first of all, you'll see a combination of cash and bonding, and you'll see then a combination of restrictions on depending on which source it is and where it will go. I think, Kay, you will see probably in a couple hours an outline of what's there. So I want to let my members finish having that discussion before I kind of prejudge what they're doing. But we're very close. I think you will see it before late afternoon. We continue to work together with the House on who starts which bills and how quickly we can move them. We might engage in a course where we both pursue them contemporaneously.
Do you have the governor's agreement on the sixth offender bill, and are you getting that to
something? I think you all saw the governor's statement on sex offender.
No,
not
sex
offender. Oh. Okay. Well, then I'm not going to release it. I'll let the governor release his statement. I expect we will be debating it and finishing it up before the end of the day.
We will be taking up the bill shortly after the Senate does it and passing it and sending it downstairs.
Today?
Yes.
The House said no to the changes in the liquor convenience store restrictions.
Let me make 2 points. I think there are some other unresolved issues that might lead this bill to conference committee. That issue, the vote was not close. It would not be the subject of negotiations in a conference committee.
What are your thoughts on the ethics complaint against Senator Bartz?
Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah. We have received an ethics complaint, and it does meet the rules of the Senate, and I have visited with Senator Bain, the ranking member, and the Secretary of the Senate, has presented Senator Bartz with a copy of that complaint, and he's got 10 days to respond, and whatever that time is, why we'll probably have a ethics committee meeting.
I would caution people. We're pretty careful when we informed our caucus that there was a complaint. We also told our caucus that it's inappropriate to talk to members of the ethics committee since they have a quasi-judicial role in this. So we're gonna let them work through that process in the appropriate way, and not try and do anything to prejudge the validity or invalidity of the complaint. So we've told our own members, if we're gonna discuss this in caucus, we have to excuse the ethics committee members.
Can the complaint be resolved after you guys are not meeting?
Of course, okay. Of course, yes.
And sure. Let me just clarify, on the part of the liquor stuff, you mean then what the House did today ends it on that particular part?
It's my belief. The vote was not particularly close. That leaves me in a position where I think it's not appropriate to spend a lot of time and energy trying to reverse that, okay? But if you see this go to conference, it doesn't mean it's about that. My point is there are other unresolved issues out there that this may lead that bill to conference committee, but that subject, I think, is foreclosed for the session.
Do you have bills pending to deal with the flood situation? You have a bill that's sort of bouncing back and forth on tax credits and property valuation.
Insurance, flood insurance.
Flood insurance, city's participation in flood insurance.
We're going to debate that later today. We're looking at...
Do you have 2 days left after today? What else could pass? What other bills do you have still on your list of probable?
I, well, I have lots of bills I'd like to do, and my job is when I reach consensus and find the number of votes to do the things we and our caucus would like to do, we proceed with them. So it's.
Well, I think you've asked most of the questions to him. So.
So that's
yeah.